Welcome to the Classroom Narratives Healing and Education Podcast, the space where education meets resilience. I'm Joey Weisler, and in each episode, we dive deep into the personal stories of educators, students, leaders, and frontline advocates who are navigating the complexities of modern education. Whether you're just starting your teaching journey or are a seasoned professional looking for inspiration, we'll explore how to foster meaningful change, prevent burnout, and build trauma-informed communities in our schools. Now, let's take a seat at the front of the classroom and get started. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. So it's almost the holiday season, and this segment will serve as our finale to the first season of this podcast. Wow, what an accomplishment as we now feature our 12th segment and many more to come, so you'll want to stay tuned. Today, we have something truly special for our listeners, and this is going to be a segment featuring the brilliant minds from my own Honors Global Literature course through St. John's University. Today is our last class for the fall 2024 semester, and these students have been diving deep into the intersections of trauma studies, student wellness, and the role of education in fostering resilience as seen through literature. We've studied texts this semester that focus on the themes of trauma and silence, such as Speak by Laurie Anderson, The Hate You Give by Andrew Thomas, Push by Sapphire, The Giver by Laurie, and Art Spiegelman's graphic Holocaust memoir, Mouse. And while we won't necessarily touch on the stories themselves in this conversation, I just wanted to preface as to what our curriculum here looked like. So in this episode, we will hear the reflections from these students on some of these tough yet vital questions that intersect language and trauma, as well as classroom spaces that all come together for the use of resilience. And I am so proud of the thoughtful and insightful work that these students have been doing all semester long, and I can't wait for you to hear their voices as they really try to grapple with these important topics here for all of you. So let's welcome the Honors Global Literature class to the Classroom Narratives podcast and get started with our conversation today. So the first thing I wanted to ask us as we come into building what we would call to be our trauma-based toolkits, I wanted to ask the value of what stories have done for us this term in the sense of, what have we learned from a trauma-informed curriculum? Or rather, what have stories allowed us to think about this term? And what solutions have they currently offered us?
So I want to say that all the stories we've read have, in a way, like, opened my eyes to, like, real-life problems. And in a way, it taught me how to not to, like, complain about, you know, small things that I see in my everyday life that I might think they're like big issues, but compared to what people actually go through, makes me feel more grateful for what I have today.
Definitely, because one thing that we've talked about in our past segments, as well as in this course, is that fiction allows us to make connections to other characters who don't exist, but most authentically, the emotions that they're dealing with very much do exist. So when we bridge those connections, we feel something very real about ourselves, and it can help us think about those bigger issues that are going beyond us as well.
So we've talked about in the past how there's things that not everybody goes through that are so serious that nobody can really grasp, like, the density of it. And after generations and generations, these stories won't be talked about by firsthand survivors anymore. So I think that, like, the books and the documentaries that we've watched open our eyes to that perspective that comes from the firsthand accounts of people who have gone through things that we don't necessarily understand until we hear it from those people.
Certainly. You are referring back here to a documentary that reviewed out of the University of Miami down in Florida, called My Survivor, where college students mobilized and worked alongside firsthand survivors of Auschwitz. And these Holocaust survivors participated as a way to ensure that their stories could be told for generations to come, even long after that they may be gone. This class has also given the opportunity to view stories of firsthand survivors of 9/11, of Columbine, of Parkland, and some of the other speakers, believe it or not, right from this podcast, such as Paula Reed from Columbine, have been instrumental voices in allowing our students to acknowledge and see themselves through not only the literature that we've read, but also the firsthand individuals who seek to also talk about it.
So I very much agree with my peers that the works of fiction, they bring these stories to life in ways that they apply to a much broader audience. And I listened away recent to Dr. Jordan Peterson. He's a Canadian psychologist. He's scientifically proven that stories are what human life is all about, this idea of stories, and that humans really we look at our past to help us with the present and the future. And the idea is that when we look at stories that deal with trauma, not only do they open our eyes to the reality of what the world, the hardships of the world will bring us, but to the reality that no matter what we face, we always overcome it. And that there was always a light at the end of the tunnel that you will reach.
So this semester has dedicated itself to being able to use the talking wound within our classroom. And the talking wound is this metaphorical concept that we typically use in literature, psychology, and culture as a way to describe the process through which a person, or in stories, this could be a character, or even a community, seek to express pain, trauma, and injury as a way that reveals deeper truths or unspoken experiences. And what this means for us in the literature class is that the stories that we choose to engage with can allow students to emotionally connect to our characters who may have found themselves in some of their darkest moments. And in vocalizing these connections within the classroom setting, we can then seek to understand ourselves while building our classroom community. So then, towards the end of our semester, we then pivoted towards firsthand nonfiction accounts, including Charlene and Richie Schwarzkopf's 9/11 conversation, which we also heard here in the podcast. We also heard from Paula Reed in Columbine, where again, our listeners can visit these podcast segments for more. But what each of these guests have offered in terms of advice from their own podcast here on the Classroom Narratives is to how one can maneuver after a tragedy. And we spoke about this as part of our class as well. So when it comes to addressing topics in the classroom that invite the deepest emotions from its students, what advice would you as students give to our teachers listening and how they can remain trauma-informed as a way to help you succeed while continuing to also break these cycles of trauma that our classroom conversations may address?
When it comes to like me personally, I believe that a good like student teacher interaction when it comes to an emotional type of conversation, I think it's just the most helpful when the teacher just listens. I think once they start to input too many suggestions or too many comments, then it kind of makes the situation a little bit more difficult. Because I think personally, at the end of the day, that is your teacher, and the teacher is a human too, and there's only so much that one teacher can take. And at the end of the day, not all teachers really know, as we discussed with Paula Reed, not all teachers really know how to handle a situation. So I think it's important to also respect the teacher and not push a boundary too much to the point where either one of you become uncomfortable in the situation.
It's important for you to speak to your teacher because it'll allow for an emotional release, but you also, with the speaking wounds, it can create like a bridge to others who have also experienced, similar pain and, who might not otherwise understand it.
So I think that it's so important to have trauma studies be a major part of any class, not just English or anything. I think it's really important to talk about it because there are people who are firsthand survivors of certain situations, and some of those people, it's really difficult to talk about. It's really difficult to speak up about what has happened to them. I think it's really important that there's some people who will talk about it for those survivors. It might give them closure about the situation, that somebody is there to speak about it for them.
So the topic of trauma studies kind of brings me back to an anecdote that I have of when I first experienced trauma study in school. And that was actually on 9/11 when I was in middle school. My history teacher actually showed the class a documentary on it. This was in 7th grade. So this was the first time that everyone was kind of introduced to this type of trauma and everyone had so many questions and was kind of confused and also curious and scared. And I feel like it's the teacher's job, and my teacher did an amazing job mediating everything, answering everyone's questions, and making sure everyone understands the like intensity of the situation and why it's important to learn about this earlier than later.
For me, I just want to add on to about like the topic where like what type of like teachers we need more, if in a way is my answer to that would be like realism, that especially like teachers who like aren't afraid to like show like their quote unquote like humane side instead of like actually just like doing their job and making like a more like comfortable space in a way for like the students to really start expressing themselves and like talk about what should be spoken about more.
On the topic of speaking wounds, when we look at a story's of fiction and nonfiction, we can clearly see that there's always an important message that all of them are putting to us about this idea of reality, that we can try to avoid reality as much as we can, but in the end, reality always wins. And we have to come to terms with the fact that bad things and wrong things do happen as well. We have to also come to an understanding that people do have these wounds that they want to try to hide, and that the healing process can be very difficult, and that it is important for those stories to get out. At the same time, I want to maybe add an extension to the speaking wound theory, in that it's also important that we not only see the wound, but we see the part that is not wounded. And in the sense of symbolism, that no matter how big that wound is, so to speak, there is a part of us that is still there, and that there is a healing process that occurs when we have wounds. And it is not only important that we see the wounds, but we see the part of us. We see that we are able to heal and overcome these things as well. When talking about this idea of trauma in the classroom, I really think there are two kind of ways that teachers tend to bring up trauma. There's the historical context of what I like to think of as cause and effect. And I feel like it's the way that most teachers and professors usually go about trauma studies, such as events of 9/11, where you learn about the promise of the event and you learn the historical impact on said event. And that is extremely important as we all come to an understanding that we learn from our past mistakes of history. With the cause and effect method, you kind of miss the gravity of the effect of understanding that these are true, real people. And I often think that the best way a professor can teach you about trauma give you enough information to understand the gravitas of the situation, leave you with the desire to learn more. This idea that like they can give only give you so much, but I think the best professors will give you enough information that you desire to continue studying it. And I'm reminded of a well-known verse from scripture from John chapter 8, verse 32, the truth shall set you free. This idea that when we look for the truth, it like kind of it frees us as humans. We come to a full understanding. And I think that the best professors are ones that enable you to desire to learn more.
So I also want to mention how that like not only does reading books help process trauma, but also creative outlets like writing or art also provide opportunities to process emotions. And trauma-informed teaching practices ensure that students' needs are met with like compassion. And I also feel that by highlighting narratives of resilience and recovery, the classroom becomes this, space of empowerment and inspiring hope and personal growth. And I also feel that, collaborative activities where students get to, talk with each other and get stuff done together, it also fosters a sense of belonging and helping students rebuild trust in others.
How can someone find a sense of being normal again after telling or living their story of trauma? And in essence, when we heard from Paula Reed a couple weeks ago, we asked her this question about what does it mean to create a trauma-informed toolkit? Her answer was to know what to take out more than what to put in. But I'm equally curious if we were to have some type of toolkit to work with after going through our literary journey together, what would that toolkit look like for you? What would you have in your toolkit if you were to experience some type of event in your life that could be either unpleasant or traumatic? What would you take from this class that could help you move forward with that and process that?
So my toolkit would consist of one thing and one thing only, and that would be open discourse. I really am of the opinion, and it might also be because I come from a more religious background as well, but I truly believe that open discourse is really the only way that we come to terms with our wounds. And I also think, me personally, that this idea of you and going to term finding normalcy, I think that the purpose of life is to come to an understanding that there is no normalcy. The idea that we are all different and we have to come to terms with the idea that it does not exist and we will be better with normalcy not existing. Because nobody that was ever normal ever did anything that truly made a difference. The fact that we are all not normal is what makes us so unique and so special. And we all contain the ability to make great change. So the idea that our experiences make us not normal and not normal is what the world is based on.
And my toolkit would just be to write it like a story, write it like an article, just write and let it go in the same way that Paula Reed wrote how she experienced her day and how she processed it. It's to like make the story come alive and make it more than just what's in my mind, but what's reality as well, and the feelings and giving them validity in that time by writing it as well.
Thank you for joining us for this powerful conversation with my honors global literature class through St. John's University. Their insights into your trauma studies, the speaking wound, and the potentials for classrooms to become spaces of healing remind us the critical role that educators and students play in shaping compassionate, informed communities. So as we close our season, let's carry the reflections with us and that how can we as educators, peers, or simply listeners create spaces where stories of trauma can be shared and healing can begin? The work isn't easy, but it is most certainly vital. If you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with others who are as passionate about education and wellness as we are. Thank you again for being a part of our journey, and until next time, stay inspired and keep the conversation going. Thank you for joining us on the Classroom Narratives Healing and Education podcast. If today's episode inspired you or made you think differently, I'd love to hear from you. Drop a comment or review wherever you listen to podcasts and stay connected with us on the @ClassroomNarratives podcast over Instagram and Facebook. Remember, together we can transform our scars into stars in education, one conversation at a time.